you get a holiday gift and you're doing it all out of the house, and it's a little adventure.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Thank you for joining me for another podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Today I'm joined by Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. In case you're new, Christy joins me every other Tuesday for a discussion to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities and assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Today, Christy and I continue our holiday theme with a discussion on holiday shopping when a loved one has dementia. Hello, Christy, and welcome back to the show.
Hello, Mike, and hello, listeners. So happy to be here.
So, Christy, I routinely encourage care partners to get their loved one out of the house and to do things together. However, in your guide, Successfully Navigating the Holidays, you pretty much say holiday shopping may not be the time to do this. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely right. So, if you think about it, you know, it's great to leave the house. Nobody wants cabin fever, of course, and I do understand that. But think about, if you go to the mall, and we're getting past all of the trauma of just getting to the mall, right? Because depending on where your person is in the disease process, it can take, say, 30 minutes to just get out the front door because you need to make sure that they're appropriately dressed for the weather, and then getting into the car, driving to the mall. Usually traffic's heavy, and that's going to take a while. Finding a parking space, helping them get out of the car, and then, you know, are they walking? Are they walking with a walker? Are they using a wheelchair? Do you need to find a motorized scooter? All of these types of things, right, that we don't necessarily think about until we're right in the moment and going, ooh, crud. So that just parking far away can be, that's it. The energy's done by the time you even get inside the store, the mall, or the Costco, what have you. Then any place you walk in, pretty much, if you're looking at doing holiday shopping, is going to be decorated, which is fantastic, except it can be visually overwhelming, right? I'm thinking several years ago, I went into a Macy's, and I was just like, wow.
Yes,
it was just completely overwhelming. It was beautiful, but the music was going. There were a ton of people in there, a lot of different smells. And I had to like pause for a moment. And what am I doing here again? It was kind of the whole enchilada there. And the same, of course, can happen for people who are living with dementia. They have a lot of incoming sensory things, as we all do. But the difference is they are losing their ability to process all of it simultaneously and as quickly as we without cognitive impairment are able to do. So there's all of that. And then maybe you're looking for a specific item on your list that may or may not interest your person. They might see something else that looks more interesting, right? And again, this can happen with anyone, but we're looking at the subtle differences as people are losing some of their ability to, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. Basically, let me say this. One of the issues that can happen with cognitive impairment, think Alzheimer's disease, think frontotemporal dementia, is the frontal lobe is affected. And that's kind of our social niceties control center, right? And so if I'm not really caring, if I'm kind of past the point of caring about your feelings, I may just blurt something out like, this sucks and I hate it and I hate you too, or whatever it is, right? And so that can definitely happen. And I'm not saying that, of course, that your person living with dementia doesn't like you. But sometimes people blurt things out when they're feeling overwhelmed. And so then when they have a part of their brain that's kind of fighting against them too, it can be a recipe for some hurt feelings. And, you know, then people have to use the restroom and they get hungry. And so just things, if we are really honest with ourselves and think about how much do we love to go holiday shopping and how much of it is us just really saying, oh, you know, mentally telling ourselves, okay, I need to suck it up. I need to push through this. I need to get this done. Honestly, we're probably falling more into the latter category, right?
Right.
Even if it started out fun, it may not stay that way for very long. Now think about for a person who uses a ton more energy than we do, right? Because their bodies can be burning up to 5,000 calories a day just sitting still in the later parts of the disease process. So they're using a ton of fuel all the time, trying very hard to hang with us conversationally and know what's going on and be in the moment with us. And we're maybe talking to them and trying to provide instruction or direction. And again, there's music, there's the smell of food and the perfume counter and all of these other things. And then their own bodily needs and a lot of people in a relatively small space and a lot of interesting visual input. So when you start to think about it like that, it starts to look like maybe not as much fun as you were maybe thinking in your Norman Rockwell fantasy.
That's true. And you know, when you painted the picture, it reminded me of our conversation we had about travel, where there's that actual travel piece or the shopping piece, but there's all that leads up to it. And there's all the, all the new distractions and all the new things going on that they're going to complicate it even that much more.
Yeah, and I think this is one yet another example of the difference between somebody who is not cognitively impaired in their brain and what's happening in the brain of someone who does have cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. Because it's all of these things, like you were saying, the things it takes just to travel someplace, right? Let's say we're flying someplace. So everything that comes before it to get to the airport, everything that comes before it to get to the mall. Now, take it a step further. Everything that comes before bathing. And it's just how we think. There are some things that we feel are so ingrained in us that we don't really need to think about it. You know, if I'm waking up in the morning and I know that I'm recording a podcast with you in the afternoon, I don't need to mentally go through a checklist of every last thing I'm going to do leading up to that. I know I'm going to get in the shower.
Right.
That's going to happen. I know I'm going to brush my teeth. That's going to happen. The difference, again, is people who are affected by some type of illness or condition that is causing cognitive impairment. Everything needs to be broken down more. We can't just take things for granted. And so when we really think about just the process of taking a shower, that's pretty complicated, right? We have to get into the bathroom, take off clothes, take off shoes, make sure the water temperature is right. Is there a towel there? What are, you know, the soap, the shampoo, all of that kind of stuff. And so it's no different when we're leaving the house to go shopping or whatever. I personally tend to think Costco is one of the biggest offenders. I love Costco. I love it. But this time of year, especially, you end up way in the back 40 for parking, right?
Right.
There typically are not nearly enough motorized scooters, or if there is one available, it's, you know, the battery is dead because somebody else has had it. There's so much going on. The lines are so long.
Well, I can tell you that even for me, if my wife drags me out to go shopping, we'll say at the mall, which is typically means clothes shopping, I'll probably end up pouting. I'll probably end up snapping at her more than once. And it's just not a good experience for me, and I will drag my feet and not be happy. Then if you couple that in with, okay, we've got to figure out how to get into the parking lot. We got to find parking. Like you said, the back 40, we've got to get in there and find what we want and then stand in lines for that. I doubt anyone's been able to drag me out holiday shopping in the last 15 years or so, especially since Amazon came to.
That's what I started to say, especially since Amazon. Remember, Amazon is your friend, yep. Right? Yep. And so I understand too that people want to honor traditions right. that they've had. So if holiday shopping was something that you always did with your mom and you guys enjoyed it, you know, sit her down next to you, put the laptop on your lap and sit down together and look through the items that are available on Amazon. What do you think about this, Mom? People can still enjoy pictures. You can have a much more pleasant experience in all likelihood doing that than going through leaving the house to go through everything. And I know, like, where you live in California, weather's not that big a deal. Right, Mike?
Right.
But where I live, like today, we're super excited because it's going to be, I think it's going to be 58 today, and which is awesome. Right, it's currently 52, I think, and wow. and it stopped. No, it's 54, and it's the rain has kind of let up a little bit. But, and I know there are people listening right now who are like, 54, I wish, that sounds so balmy. So there's all of that too, you know, depending on where you live, what kind of experience is this going to be? And then sometimes this is true too. It's just unavoidable. Whatever it is that you want or that must have thing, it just isn't available online. Or you just are really certain that I have no idea what I'm talking about and it's going to be a blast. So in those situations, you can still mitigate some factors that would make for an unpleasant experience. So for example, go right when a store opens or go when people who are working are less likely to be there. So avoid after 5 p.m., avoid lunchtime, right? So if you can be there, like, and most stores will extend their hours. So if you can do, say, the 9 a.m. at Target, that's probably going to be a little bit better than the 6 p.m. at Target. The other thing too, of course, to keep in mind is what's your loved one's natural sleep cycle? So, you know, please don't go to Target at 9 a.m. because I said it, when you know your loved one doesn't usually wake up till 10, that's a bad idea. Right. So just be willing to go with what's going to work for them and to cut somewhere between 25 and 75% off your to-do list. I know it's true because sometimes we struggle to get out the door and to get our loved one out the door and we feel like, okay, well, it took an hour just to make it out of the driveway. So I'm going to make this trip worthwhile.
Get my money's worth. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's where I always go back to, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? So you can kind of get that whole money's worth thing out of it if you're feeling that. But remember, you are the one who is then going to be coming home with a person who has maybe had an accident or who is completely exhausted and feeling cranky, maybe who's hungry or thirsty, overtired, overstimulated, maybe their back hurts, maybe their feet really hurt from, you know, all the walking. And so there can be a whole bunch of things going on. Maybe they missed a dose of a pain medication. Maybe they usually have their feet up at a certain point in the day. So think about all of those factors too. Right. When you're weighing, what would you like to, the environment of your home, how would you like that to be when you're finished with this excursion? So beginning with the end in mind and working backwards can really help you plan out what you want to do and how you want to manage holiday shopping.
So what I used to do to mitigate it before online shopping was my savior, is I would go literally maybe even before Thanksgiving sometimes for Christmas shopping. And so I would definitely, would never wait till the last week. And I would go to stores that were more of your mom and pop or your smaller stores that maybe were in a strip mall or something, but not your big mall that's going to have thousands of people going crazy in it.
I love that. I think that's a great idea. And also, small business owners, I think, really love that idea too.
Yeah, definitely.
please support them. Shop local.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think that's a great idea. Another thing to consider is if you have your loved one living at home with you, you know, you have an amazing opportunity to do something really special for the rest of your family. And that is start pulling out your phone. And it's not too late. Even after you finish listening to this episode, you can still do this. Pull out your phone and start having a conversation, but just use the record app on your phone. Ask your parent or your partner about some special memories or their recollections or some things you didn't know. Maybe they'll have the answer, maybe they won't. Of course, we don't want this to turn into a quiz show episode, but you could, you know, bring out the photo album and say, "Yeah, I really love this picture. I remember when it was taken, how happy I felt because we were together and it was really special because it was Grandma and Grandpa's anniversary," you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then give them some time to come back with their recollections of it. Or, you know, and don't forget that sometimes it takes people's brain a little bit longer to warm up. I call it warming up. And so they might tell a story. They might kind of not seem that engaged, but then the more you start talking, then it's kind of like sparking some things. Those memories are coming, flowing a little bit more. And so they'll be more responsive and more talkative. And I've seen numerous times, I mean, thousands of times, where people will tell a bare bones sketch of a story. And then I call it a loop. And so then they start telling the story again, but this time there are more details. And by the third time through the story, it's amazing the layer of detail that's coming. And you can just see this as this process is happening and the memories are flowing more freely. And so that's a great opportunity to be able to not only get those stories down, but when you're recording it on your phone, you're recording your loved one's voice. And I promise you, unfortunately from personal experience, but future you is already so grateful that you thought to do this right now, because there will come a day when the sound of your loved one's voice will be worth more than any amount of money in the world.
That's a very, very interesting, the loop thought thing you talked about is very interesting to hear about. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, I think sometimes we give up a little bit too soon, or some people who don't necessarily know any better or maybe are kind of at the end of their tether at that moment in time will say, "Oh, I've already heard that one," mm-hmm. and not be open to the possibilities of what other nuances and details.
I'm going to go back to shopping a little bit. I was thinking about different types of stores and shopping experiences. And another one we haven't talked about is the grocery shopping. For the meal, that seems to me like that could be a good opportunity to include a loved one who the tradition maybe was for cook the meal or to help prepare the meal. Maybe that we could include them in the grocery shopping, which wouldn't be as chaotic, if you will, as the gift shopping.
As long as you're staying out of Costco, yes.
right.
Grocery shopping is actually one of my favorites, and I may be a little bit biased because years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I worked in a grocery store. I worked in the produce department. So I will give you this handy tip. Stay out of the produce department on Wednesday night. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is not a place you want to be, okay?
Right.
It's ugly. But grocery store is fantastic because, number one, usually the motorized scooters are fairly plentiful and they're very good about keeping them charged. That's number one. Number two, people kind of tend to get out of your way when you're when you have someone in a motorized scooter with you, because the aisles are not super wide, right? So you kind of run the show. You're running your own program then. So you don't have to worry in that sense about people getting tired or getting jostled in the crush. a great reminiscence, exactly like you said, Mike, right. about, you know, what we used to cook or how we used to do it, that kind of thing. And another thing, which is often overlooked, but, you know, most grocery stores now sell gift cards. You can do some holiday shopping there, too. I'm thinking of a big chain we have in the Pacific Northwest is Fred Meyer, and I believe it's called Kroger in other parts of the country. And so you can buy gift cards, and usually, and this is true of Safeway and Bonds, too, where you buy a gift card in the holiday season, and they give you double or quadruple gas points.
Oh, right.
When you buy gift cards.
So we love those gas points. Yeah.
You get some gas points on your loyalty card there, and you get a holiday gift, and you're doing it all out of the house, and it's a little adventure. So I love the grocery store for that very reason, because there are just so many things you can do there, and I think it's just generally a better and more familiar experience for a person who's living with dementia, because I think most people, and I'm sure there's a fashionista out there somewhere who's telling me I'm wrong, but most people don't go to the mall at least once a week. But most people do go to the grocery store and have gone to the grocery store at least once a week for most of their lives. So it's a safe, familiar place for people.
That's true. And, you know, so in your guide, Christy, you talk about avoiding meltdowns, and I use the term chaos or crises, but I think you also talk about having backup plans in case things or when things do go wrong. Can you maybe share with our listeners more about what you're talking about for having backup plans for maybe unexpected scenarios, I think is how you said it.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really important, I'll share too, because I know we never have as much time as I think we should on these shows. But one that's really important is, I call it having a go bag. Okay. And so when you have a change of clothes and incontinent products in there, and also a change of socks and shoes, trust me on that one. Okay. That's really important. So just kind of have that at all times, have it in the car, have it with you, take it into whatever store with you, just in case, because stuff happens, right? And it could be that this is the day where they didn't know it was coming and it happened. Sometimes we eat food that doesn't agree with us. Sometimes we completely understand what needs to happen, and like we are banging on the door of the bathroom, but there's somebody else in there, or it's out of order, or whatever the case may be. So that's just a really good, solid, practical backup plan. The other thing, and this is, I think, more what we're talking about specific to the holiday season, is there are more people out. It can feel more overwhelming for all of us involved. And so what we need to do is be very clear in our mindset that if we need to bail on the situation, that's what we're doing. And that means you may have just spent an hour filling your cart with all kinds of stuff, but your person is showing signs of distress, showing signs like clasping their hands repeatedly, rubbing their hands together, pacing, it's called sub-vocalizing. And so it's where people might be doing something like under their breath, right? A little growl, or repeating words, but it's just kind of under their breath is how we usually think of it. Maybe getting too close to other people in line, getting a little snappy with you, or kind of swatting out at you, any of those signs, and especially if they're in combination, it is time to bail. You have to be willing to walk away from your cart, abandon it, because those signs right there tell you that this is imminent, and you're probably not going to make it to the car before it happens, but this is your best shot of just saying, you know what? I think this is just too much for us, Mom. We're out of here. Come on, let's go. And boom, just go, you know?
Right. You got to definitely pay attention to body language and how things are going, and be in tune with that. I can see that.
You do. Yeah. Yeah. Being in tune. I like how you put that. Just being very aware of your person, being in tune, and when you're starting to see those signs, it's time to go. And certainly you can roll the dice and hope for the best and cross your fingers. In my experience, this always ends the same way, so I would strongly encourage abandoning the cart and getting out of there as quickly as possible, and then just offering reassurance. I'm sorry, I think this is just too much, let's get out of here. Don't put the blame on someone. Like, I can see you're getting so worked up and we need to get out of here. That's not going to help anything, right?
Right.
Likewise, saying, you know, Dad, you just need to relax. And I think we've talked about this before, Mike, but people typically do not respond well to hearing the words relax,
right,
or calm down, or chill out, right, or any of those things. And it's a weird little human tick that we have, that when we see someone who's getting upset, we throw out the least useful words, words that are guaranteed to throw, you know, gas on the bonfire. But so just having that mindset that you're willing to do what it takes to make the situation okay, and understanding that could mean walking away from it. And then you don't have to keep chattering, just come on, we're out of here. And then, you know what? It's okay.
If you're really, you know, you're going to be willing to walk away from the cart, what's going through my mind is, you definitely don't want to be waiting till the night before Christmas, or even a few days before Christmas, because we put so much pressure on ourselves to buy gifts for people that we probably only see once or twice a year oftentimes. It reminds me of when I actually used to have a full-time job where I worked 60 hours a week, and it was nearly impossible to get out and do any shopping. And then I'm picturing myself trying to care for someone with dementia who, it's a full-time 24/7 job. And, you know, and shopping is going to be the last thing they want to do. And it comes down to that pressure at the end. And once again, as we talk about many times, the emotions and the feelings are just so contagious that it's going to be a meltdown, like you say.
Right. And I think, you know, too, let's say you're caring for your parent at home, and you also have grandkids. And of course, you want to be the right, awesome grandma, and you right, want to, you know, it means something to you. It's a big deal. This is, don't forget the learning opportunity here for kids. And, you know, you're always able to still write a check and a nice note. You can definitely do that. Like you were saying, Mike, think about who's really on the list and do they need to be on the list. But then the other piece is, use it as a learning opportunity that, you know, in our family, this is about us being together because we love each other. And that's why we come together. And there will come a day when we won't all be sitting in this room anymore. Because, you know, people get older, people get ill, people move away, all of that kind of stuff. So we're really about enjoying being together and these recipes that we've passed down for years or whatever it is. And the other thing is, you know, great grandma can't go out. It's too much for her now. And sometimes that happens later in life. So it can be an educational opportunity, both about health conditions that may happen later in somebody's life, and also about not being a little jerk, thinking it's only about the gifts, right? But right. I mean, you know, yeah, just seeing, I think we've all met brats. Of course, none of them would say there are none in our own families, but, you know, the thing is, kids don't know
right,
until we explain it to them. They don't know anything until we explain it to them. And this is a good opportunity to explain, hey, this is what's going on with great grandma.
That's a really great point. I think this was a great conversation, as always, Christy, and I've learned a lot. And, you know, as with everything, we tell our care partners out there to plan, and plan ahead, and be ready for it to not go the Norman Rockwell way, as you say it.
Right, exactly, because we can pretty much guarantee that's not how it's going to go. So I always say, you know, just plan for the worst and be pleasantly surprised and oh so grateful anything short of a disaster. You know, just say, hey, wow, that great, that worked out well.
That's right, that's great advice. That does conclude our conversation, Christy. So thank you again for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for listening in. And this concludes our conversation on holiday shopping and dementia with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa. Be sure to visit Christy's website at dementiasherpa.com. You'll find the link as well as all the reference resources in the show notes at togetherness.com/episode24. If you want to do me a huge holiday favor and support this show, please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And very importantly, please leave a comment or review on your favorite podcast app, such as iTunes. And don't forget, Christy joins me every other Tuesday for a new episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, right here on The Alzheimer's Podcast. Bye now. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherness.com/podcast.